Chapter 4, we've been working our way through this chapter and observing how the Lord has begun to teach doctrine to his people through parables. Mark 4, verse 33, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." And so we just see that God has a way of communicating with mankind through parables. The book you're holding is a parabolic book. It has words on the page, and yes, it has literal sentences that you can put together from a grammatical standpoint, but it has a spirit. It's wrapped in a spiritual covering, and only through the parable, para, two things together. When that literal is wrapped in the spiritual, does one get understanding. And notice, he speaks parables to everyone, but he only expounds them to his disciples. So if you want understanding in the Word of God, then you must be willing to be a disciple. And that's beyond even just being born again. Being born again is the wonderful, greatest thing that'll ever happen to you in all of eternity. And you'll be saying that 10,000 years from now. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. So when you got born again, because 10,000 years from now, you'll be alive and you'll be able to say it because you did get born again. But if you didn't get born again, you won't be saying anything 10,000 years from now. But it's the greatest thing that ever happened. However, after the born again process, the Lord wants to make disciples of you. And he's going to show us some things here now in these parables. Now, we saw the first parable was about the sower. The sower sowed the word. The seed was the word. The seed hit three different types of heart. And the one that really was a great blessing is a verse 20. "These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So we see this as the Lord is out there sowing word. When he was here in his body, he did that personally for 3.5 years. After his ascension, he then commended the ministry to us. And our job is to go forth and to sow the word. And as we do that, it'll hit different hearts, but every so often it'll hit one of those good hearts right there. Now, the Lord wants to show us, and we saw the candlestick parable, verses 21 through 25 last week, and when he does light a candle, he wants to put you on a candlestick, which is in a local church. Now he wants to teach us a few more things, and we'll get to two of them today, and these will involve the kingdom of God. Beginning in 26 will be another little parable through verse 29. "And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." And he'll tell one other parable, a short one here. "And he said," verse 30, "whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." So he's going to tell two parables here, and they're both about the kingdom of God. And there'll be two ideas he wants us to learn about the kingdom of God. The first one he wants us to understand in verse 26 through 29 is the fact that when this man casts this seed into the ground, verse 27, and the man sleeps and rises, the seed should spring and grow up. And the first thing he wants to tell us is there is an assured growth to the kingdom of God. This is an assurance that we have. It is a certainty, it is a surety that the Lord will have growth in the kingdom of God. Now, in order to get this, let me just take you back. And this is one of the synoptic gospels. And in the synoptic gospels, you will have three writers. The Lord will give Matthew, Mark, Luke, often a look at the same thing from slightly different angles, and he'll fill in here a little and there a little. So this particular parable was also told in the mystery parables discourse of Matthew 13. And the way it's told, he tells it differently, but the thing he wants you to understand is this portion of it here. Verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And then he explains in verse 37, and he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked. First thing he wants to help you, we got to do it. Lord, you could write this easier. What he does is, and I talk with him all the time, this book is deep. And the Lord, he'll take a particular word or a particular phrase, and he will not nail it down the same through the whole book. Often he will reset a particular word or a phrase that will have more than one meaning. The seed, he had just said a little while ago, the seed is the word. Now all of a sudden he has recalibrated or reset the parable, and the seed is not the word, the seed is a person. Did you see that? Verse 37, 38. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. So when keep up with God when he's teaching. Okay, if you decide to sit back and sit behind and say, well, I learned it that way and that's the way it is, God may move on and you're going to miss some of the teaching. So you just got to keep up with him. I don't know what to say except, Lord, help us to keep up, because sometimes it's difficult for us to get these things. So now going back to where we were in Mark, you want to see that in verse 26, and now you say, well, he's going to use the kingdom of God. And again, I want to stick with one thing, but I just want to say this. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are very similar, and yet they are different, but they're very similar. It's kind of like if you've ever studied calculus. When you study calculus, there are two sets of equations. There are the differential equations and the integral equations. And it's, once in a great while, you'll get a problem that can be solved by both, like Maxwell's equations for electromagnetism. But often, they're separate equations. They're both part of calculus, and they're a little different. Well, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are a little bit different, but they're the same in some way, so don't fret over that. But the point is this, in Matthew is the only place you find the kingdom of heaven, because Matthew was the gospel to the Jew to convince the Jew that all this Old Testament stuff had come to pass to try and get the Jew saved. Mark is a gospel to the Jew after he's saved. And after he's saved, he no longer needs proof that Jesus is the Christ. He knows Jesus is Christ. He no longer looks for the kingdom of heaven. They kind of missed that, the Jewish nation. They're now in the kingdom of God. And Mark doesn't spend any time with the Judean ministry. It's all Galilean ministry as he's preparing the Jew, the saved Jew, to go forth and bring that gospel to the other nations, because he always wanted the Jew to be a kingdom of priests when ministering to other nations, and a born-again Jew today knows his job is to get the gospel out. So it's the kingdom of God. It's this era here. It doesn't come with observation like the kingdom of heaven. You could see Jerusalem. You can't see the kingdom of God. It's within you. And this is what he's talking about. And he's talking about when a man casts seed into the ground. Now again, behind the man is the man Christ Jesus. Let's say the man is Brother Ray. And so Brother Ray is out there and he's casting the seed of the Word of God forth. And now it's assumed it's hit the good ground of verse 20. Now it becomes its own seed, and it's going to go through its phase of growth. And here is the growth. This seed, he says in verse 27, even though Ray sleeps and rises day and night, the seed is going to spring and grow up, and Ray doesn't know how. And neither do you and I. All he wants to assure us of the fact is that if God's seed, his word, ever hits a good heart, that work is going to get performed. It's going to go through its growth process. It's going to come through a process like in verse 28, just like the earth does. The earth brings forth her fruit of herself. And the Son of Man and God the Father and the Holy Ghost will bring forth fruit of themselves through this one that has received God's word into his heart in a good manner. First the blade, three portions of growth, then the ear, and after that, corn in the ear. And he's going to take a look at how growth occurs in someone that has received the word of God in a good heart. And it's going to go forth. First, the blade. Again, the blade was mentioned back in Matthew 13, verse 26. The blade. The blade is the flat, leafy part of a plant. Now, if you got grass, that's all it is. It's just a blade. You just see that flat stalk of grass. That's all it is, the blade. It's very initial. As a matter of fact, go back to Matthew 13 and watch this. Watch how rudimentary this growth is in the first portion. Again, looking at how the enemy, verse 25, the good man has sown good seed, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Here we go, verse 26. But when the blade was sprung up, watch the key, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. When the blade was sprung up, you couldn't tell. Because the tare has a blade, and the good seed has a blade. It's when the fruit comes forth, then you can tell. Look at the difference. The initial portion of the growth of someone in the kingdom of God is you almost will not see a difference between them and a member of the world. I can attest to that. I can wholeheartedly attest to that. I remember when I first got saved. And I remember the blade coming up. And it was a blade, and it cut people. It wasn't all that helpful. But it was a blade. And I still had aspects of me that were no fruit of the Spirit. And I remember, because one day in particular, I'd been saved now about, I don't know how many months it was, 2, 3, 4, 5 months. I had my lunch breaks were insane. You know, we just operation after operation after operation. You got 15 minutes between cases, and I would run downstairs like a maniac, try and get a salad from the salad bar, bring it back upstairs, and then eat between cases the rest of the day. So I'm running downstairs, and there was a line at the salad bar, and this cannot be happening. I've got to be back up for surgery in 7 minutes. And I think maybe I fought my way through the line in an unchristian manner. The old Mike had no problem doing that. The new Mike shouldn't do that. He should know better. But anyways, I had no trust in God at that point. I just knew I was saved. And so I ran back upstairs, and somebody came up and complained, and another Christian was there, and I said, I really lost it down there. I shouldn't do that. I have to be a better Christian. And the one Christian defended me, who'd been saved for decades, but then said to me, "You can't." And then I was offended by that. What do you mean I can't be a better Christian? He was trying to teach me it takes a long time for God to grow and bring fruit from you, and you just got the blade. You're real young in your growth right now. And I just needed time to grow. But yet they were defending me. But I looked like a tear down there. I was on a tear. This is the reality. I don't know if you've seen this or if you haven't seen it. I hope you haven't seen it. I hope you've been blinded to it and make you all happy. But this is just the way it comes forth. Look, the Lord is giving this parable to comfort us. I mean, for those of you who teach Sunday school, for those of you who preach on the streets, for those of you who raise children, and you see, I've been working, I've been teaching, I've been doing this, I've been sowing good seed. I mean, you're not sowing tares around there. You're not part of the enemy. I mean, you're preaching in your Sunday school, you're teaching the Word of God, you're doing that on the streets, you're doing that at your home, you're sowing, and you're not seeing growth, and you're still seeing the blade, and you're seeing this part, I can't tell this guy from the world, is he saved, is he not? The Lord's trying to say, settle down, growth will come. This is the way the kingdom of God goes. First the blade. Then, in verse 28, then the ear. Then the ear. The blade is like a flat thing. I got one in here. I'm talking to you with it. The blade. Initially, I think when we get saved, maybe we talk a bit. Maybe we talk too much. I know I did. I went off talking right away. I went off talking like I knew more than I knew, and I didn't know all that much, but I talked anyways, and then just talk a lot. Then the ear. Swift to hear, slow to speak. That takes a little time. That's part of the growth process. Then I began to remember, I can be still here. I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything. I don't know that much anyways. I mean, I know you can grab a few things quickly. You go to a few preaching messages, you hear a little bit there, a little bit there. I think I got this down. I know that. And the blade goes running off, but the ear takes a little time to develop. The point where you start to be still and you start to listen and you start to let God's Spirit speak to you. You're beyond salvation. This is discipleship. This is growth. This is the Lord beginning to work. You're not going to grow if you do all the talking. First, the blade. I started praying right away. But a lot of Christians pray. I knew not how to pray. I needed an ear to begin to hear the Word of God so I could pray according to His will, and He could give me the desires of my heart through hearing. There's a process that goes. Now, a lot of times nowadays in the kingdom of God, this is kind of stunted because faith doth come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And sadly, there's not a lot of the Word of God in evangelical churches. So there's not opportunity for the ear to develop nowadays. And I'm going to show you more good news about this. But right now you see some of the problem that begins to occur. And so the growth isn't happening. Now, from a botanical standpoint, the ear is the part of the plant that contains the flowers and the seeds. They call it the spike of the plant. It's the upper part. So you think of corn coming up, and it's got the blade, and then it's got that area in there that's going to eventually contain the seed. And so first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. And now finally comes the corn, the kernels of seed, whether this is wheat, whether it's rye, whether it's barley, whether it's maize, which we call corn. The illustration he's given is how this growth takes place over time. While you sleep, day and night. How's it going to happen? You knoweth not how. I don't know how. I don't know when. I often keep waiting for when in some people. But it's going to happen. Now, these three phases of growth, the Lord will talk about, let's say, in 1 John chapter 2, and you've seen them before. The blade, 1 John chapter 2. You'll see the three phases there in inverse order. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. The little child is the blade, like a babe, like Paul, blade, babe. It kind of sounded like 1 Corinthians 3:1, as babes. As babes, you should desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. But if the sincere milk of the Word is not around, you can't get much growth, and you may stay a blade and a babe for a long time on planet Earth. That's possible. The next part is the ear, the part that it's called the spike. And that's the part, that stiff part that's able to hold all the seed, all the corn, the kernels of seed. That spike is the young men, because you've overcome the wicked. The young men are out there with their spike, with their sword, they're fighting, they're doing their things. And then finally, the full corn in the ear, that's the father part, because now you have seed, and as a father you're reproducing after your kind. And you're bringing forth not only your own fruit, but you're bringing forth other fruit. And this is the growth. And the Lord wants to show us, hey, look, this is good. I'm assuring you that this growth is going to happen. There's no doubt it's going to happen. Go to Philippians chapter 1. This is why he's telling the parable. Sometimes we consternate and we frustrate and we wonder what to do. And, you know, I'm not going to sleep anymore. I'm going to stay there. I'm going to keep turning over the ground. I'm going to water it more. I'm going to look at it. That's going to make it come up. None of those things are going to bring that piece of fruit to come up. Amen. I'm going to read it. It's right. So I'm going to tell it. Look, it's just not going to. Amen. We just keep sowing seed. Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you that in a minute, because I know you say, well, the primary application of the day of Jesus Christ is the rapture. And yeah, that is a good primary application, but the later and the greater application of that particular phrase is 1 Corinthians 15, when he delivers the kingdom up to God and puts down the last enemy, which is death, and that's the end of the millennium. Okay, so I understand the difference between what you're going to get out of this life and what God's going to get out of you when he performs it and he has a chance to work on you for a while. Now, so here's what he's saying. The kingdom of God, there's going to be growth. I assure you there's going to be growth. The growth is going to be slow. Go to Luke chapter 13. And I understand both the desire of the one who just got born again, and I had this desire in my heart when I got saved. Man, when I got saved, I, the first thing I did was, you know, watch that pastor up there and go, I want to teach like that. You know, I mean, you understand now. Not exactly, but a little differently. But I did want to teach like that. I wanted to know the book. I wanted to know the book. And so I began this pursuit. I mean, we're all wired differently. Some of us are wired for comfort. Some wired for love. I was wired for truth. I was looking for truth. I found truth. I want to know truth. I wanted to know that book. I wanted to know it soon. Guess what I learned? I didn't get to know it soon. I remember how many times we would go to Bible studies, Ed and I together. And Ed would do some of these Bible studies. You were saved longer than I, brother, so you would do some teaching, and I would listen to those things and go, and he would teach those things, and I wasn't getting it, and I was trying to get it, and I would interrupt his Bible studies because I was all excited trying to get stuff, and I'd mess up there, but it's slow. Luke 13, verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon and found none. He said to the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? He answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Here's the thing, it takes time for a tree to bear its fruit. It doesn't happen right away. Trees grow slowly. Tares in wheat grow fast. Trees grow slowly. There's much development that needs to be done. Most of the development, just like the church, is foundational. It's underground. It's deep. It's roots going down. We just had that windstorm recently. You know, a lot of trees blew over. Do you know why? Shallow roots. Trees blown over because of shallow roots. The trees that stood, deep roots. There's underground work. There are things being done in the heart. There are things being done in the mind. There are hidden things God is doing that the rest of us don't see. So there's assured growth going on in the Christian. How do I know that? Jesus told me. Well, I don't see any. After all, I am a fruit inspector. First off, God never told you to be a fruit inspector. No one's told to be a fruit inspector. Well, it says that in Matthew 7. Matthew 7 got nothing to do with you inspecting fruit on a Christian. It says you'll know the difference between a false prophet by his fruit. Read it. Didn't say you'll know a Christian by his fruit. So, now look, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate good fruit too. And fruit will come eventually, but I want to show you more. I just want to show you that the growth is assured. The growth is going to be slow. God desires to see growth in his children, and he will get the growth, like he said in Philippians 1:6. He's going to get it one day. There's no doubt about it. Every one of God's children will bloom one day. But right now, things are slow. He wants to see growth. The growth that's going to come is going to be like we saw in Peter, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It's going to come through the word of God. The only water that's going to bring those roots down, the only milk that's going to work in that life and strengthen that life is the word of God. And there was our problem, Christianity. They don't have the word of God. So when I meet a Christian, I don't expect a lot to see a fruit. How well does a tree grow next to a poison well? Doesn't grow all that well. How much fruit? Even if it bears fruit, it's bitter fruit. Bitter fruit next to poison water. You go, fruit's 90% water, folks. You go eat rotten fruit from a tree planted in a bad area. It's going to be through the word. It's going to be through the will of the person. The person has to have a will. I mean, that's why we speak not only to comfort and edification, but exhortation. Come on, let's awake. Let's get to this thing. Are you reading your Bible? I'm telling you, read your Bible. That's simple. Do it. It works. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Look for your Lord when you read that book. Allow him to work. I mean, you have to, with diligence, add to your faith. The diligence of a will that seeks it. The word and the will. It's going to be in love. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. And that's a prayer. That's one of my prayers that this blade shakes. Lord, give me the love of Christ. That love works three ways. It works upward toward me loving him. It works inward, him loving me. It works outward, Christ loving you through me. So it's got to be in love. These are the things that are going to be required for this growth. It's going to happen. Now, I believe in our own life, verse 29, going back to the parable. You know, when somebody gets saved, they got in on the best thing of all eternity. Even if they haven't figured it out. Even if they're in a goofy assembly. You know, God is so good, he even allows those goofy assemblies for those. I mean, they're there. And it's all going to work out. I'll show you in a minute. But verse 29. I mean, the earth bringeth forth fruit. And the Lord will bring forth fruit. But verse 29, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, spiritually, he's talking about our own life. He's talking about, for example, we were in Philippians before. In that same chapter, Paul would say, later on in that very chapter, chapter 1, he would say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. The Lord was bringing fruit forth through the person of Paul in this body. Now, there came a point then when Paul recognized in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he said, you know, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. my fruit in my body that God's done with me. I have kept the faith. And the Lord now is ready to harvest Paul. And in your life, may God do the same. Take you from the blade all the way up to the ear and then to the full corn in the ear. And then when the Lord is ready, time for harvest. Praise the Lord. But I think you look at the kingdom of God, besides just a person as part of the kingdom, you look at the kingdom itself over the 2,000 years, and the Lord looks at this kingdom, and he says there's a day coming when the last trump will sound, and it's now time for me to call that home. Now, one other thing I looked at is those three portions of the 28th verse. Bringeth forth of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And maybe it's me. I always try and get the big picture. I'm always asking God, bring me up in the helicopter and let me see the big picture. I know we walk on planet Earth. I know we walk in the fields and in the woods. And sometimes we get trapped in the woods and we're very parochial in the thinking and we think here and now. What's the big picture? I'd have to say the big picture is this. First, the blade. The blade would be right now in this body. Then the ear. The ear to me would be the millennium. And in the millennium, I think the Lord is going to get everyone's ear. There are going to be no perversions in the millennium. There are going to be no false Bibles anymore. There can be no false teachers on TV anymore, misguiding Christians. There can be no false prophets anymore. The Lord's going to be running everything. He's going to be the head teacher. There's one master, even Christ. He'll be the master of assemblies. He'll be doing the teaching. And you'll sit down with your ear. And when that millennium is over and the full corn is in the air, then the Lord will now present all of us to his Father. And so I see that too. The kingdom of God is going to triumph. It's going to triumph. Probably not going to triumph with us, folks. We're not doing all the best job at it. And I mean, we sit around, some Brother Dave and I will sit and we'll talk sometimes and you know, discouraged as to what's happened to God's church. What's happened to the church of the living God down here? It's at the point where there's no ear, there's no corn, it's all blade. There's so much underground you can't even tell what's going on. You can't tell it from a tear. Don't worry, the Lord's going to get it one of these days. The first parable he gives in this chapter is the fact that there is assured growth. You have the assurance of your salvation. You have the assurance of the triumph of what God's going to do in every one of his children. Amen. Every one of us will be conformed to the image of Christ. It may take 1,000 years, but he's going to get it done. Now, this next thing he wants to teach here, the next parable, not only is there sure growth, Verse 30, 31, and 32, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare? Well, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it's sown in the earth, it's less than all seeds that be in the earth. But when it's sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Not only is there sure growth, there's sad overgrowth. There's assured growth, and there's a sad overgrowth of the kingdom of God. And this has happened. Now, the portrait is this. The mustard seed is a small seed, and they plant it, and it brings up a small, pungent bush. Exodus 3. God was in the bush, and the bush was not consumed. It was a pungent bush. The kingdom of God is a place where God is in the midst of his people. And it's pungent. It is salt. It is a savor. It's a pungent. Now, to some, it's the savor of death unto death. To those of us in it, it's the savor of life unto life. But the sad thing that Jesus is showing us, now look, it's sad, and yet at the same time I'm thankful because he's forewarning us. So why would I be upset when I see what's going on? The scriptures cannot be broken. He just showed me right here. This is going to happen. It's going to shoot out great branches. Great branches. Now remember I told you about words. Watch out for words that become plural. In the Bible, in Isaiah, in Zechariah, there's the branch. There is the branch. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. Isaiah 4, verse 2. You go over to Zechariah and you read about the branch. Let me find it for you. Isaiah, Zechariah 3, verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch, capital B, capital R, all caps, A-N-C-H. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the name? Jesus Christ. What's happening here? There are great branches with other names. Denominations. Amen. Why so many churches? Christian denominations. Denomino. Nomino is name. Okay? Methodist, Lutheran, Anglican, Catholic, branches with other names all together. Masquerading as the kingdom of God. What's in those branches? The fowls of the air. The very fowls of the air that were plucking up the seed back in the early part of this chapter. So he wants to show us the kingdom of God will overgrow, if you will. It will overgrow. There will become divisions and factions and separations and denominations and then heresies and false teachings, and the fowls will be right in those branches, yapping and like those crows making all their noise and coming up with creeds and doctrines and all these things, doctrines of men and doctrines of devils. And the guy said, well, what is the kingdom of God? How's the only way I can, how can I help a man who wants to know the difference? All the way back to the beginning, behold, a sower sowing good seed. Behold, a sower sowing good seed. It's the seed. The seed is the word of God. The only thing that's going to help separate someone from the confusion of being in a dead branch that he happens to think, branches that have been cut off by God, branches that are lying on the ground there. But a man without spiritual eyes can't see. The only thing that helps him see the difference is the clear light of God's word. There's no better way to bring someone around. So I can do it by my lifestyle and the way I live. Look, there are probably some lost people that can live better than we can. When I was in Pennsylvania, some of those guys living in those places without electricity and going around on their horses and living like the 1800s and sowing the ground and living an agrarian lifestyle, they would call them Amish and the Mennonites and all these people doing all that stuff, good family men, good obedient children and all that kind of stuff, lost, absolutely lost and on their way to hell. I treated one of them. I treated one of those families. They were all lost. Oh, great lifestyle. No, but the Word of God. That's what's sown, not our lifestyle. I'm telling you, that you ought to live a good life, and you know that, and you know better, and the Spirit shows you that. That's part of the fruit you bring forth. But the seed that you send forth is the Word of God. So we learn in these parables, the kingdom of God, yes, there is assured growth. Everyone that has received the Word in an honest heart will grow. Maybe not in this life. Might not get his ear until the millennium, because right now there are so many of these churches out there. I mean, I know a Christian woman, and I know a couple of Christian women. They're good. They're trying to do their level-headed best. They really are, without a King James Bible. And when I try lovingly and graciously and even carefully and slowly to reason with them on it, the responses, and the one in particular, she's such a sweetheart, but she's simple. She's very simple. Is how can all of those people be wrong? And she's talking about, I listened to John MacArthur. I listened to David Jeremiah. I listened to McGee. I listened to all these teachers. They don't seem to say this. How could you be right and they're all wrong? I just can't see it. I understand. Sheep follow shepherds. It probably ain't going to get right in this life for her. Her ear won't come till the millennium. But praise the Lord, it will.
Amen.
It's sure. It's certain. Jesus will perform it. He's going to get it worked out. And in terms of all those denominations, why would you want any other name than Jesus Christ?
Amen.
All right, so we finish up with these parables. Next week he's going to show us a work that he's going to do for these folks to show the power that he has. But notice the power will be demonstrated after he's given the word. The miracle will follow the message. And that's the way the Lord does it. But let's just thank our Lord. Lord, thank you for the kingdom of God. Thank you for sowing good seed somehow, finding me, finding the folks right here today. And Lord, birthing us. Thank you so much for letting us be a part of the kingdom. And thank you, Lord, for the slow and the steady growth that you're doing with us. Please help us to stay close to the sincere milk of the word and the water of the well of God's word, so that you can bring us to the point of the ear and the corn. And the Lord, just help us. Help us to be patient with ourselves and patient with others. And we just thank you, Lord. One day you'll perform it all. And we look forward to the day when you have us before yourself and you teach us the word of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.